This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
There's so much in our Gospels that are too often overlooked. This may be one such incident.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we take an enjoyable look at Jesus the healer, why he healed, and just what that may mean for us. Do stay with us.
After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a slave who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well.
Sharon's reading is of a remarkable encounter Jesus had with a Roman centurion and his well-loved slave. Probably because since Matthew calls him young, perhaps his childhood companion. But this story we will use so as to understand more fully our Lord's healing ministry, what it was meant to do, how he used this amazing gift, and why he did these striking acts, and why we can too. It, of course, begins in Galilee, what was then a small region of the Roman province of Syria, ruled on behalf of Rome by a series of petty rulers. One was even allowed to call himself king. Here Jesus began his ministry of teaching, and usually underscored it, or we might say highlighted it, by his healings, many of them quite remarkable for their power and the simplicity of the message. And the impact here is that we find nothing is said. We must look at the account in Matthew's gospel, where we do find some differences. Matthew has, for his purposes, eliminated the intermediaries, having the centurion appear in person. Matthew likes the personal touch. But Luke prefers to spend the time reflecting the fact that this Roman was a friend of the Jewish people. Here the point is that the centurion expresses his faith that Jesus has the authority to heal. And yes, Jesus will heal with but the words, "Go, return. It is as you desire." All of these acts Jesus does in a very small area, in a region where most people walked from farm to village and then to the next village. And each act easily will be reported near and wide. And we will find that Jesus' healings were for a purpose. With the centurion, we find that Jesus accepts all people. Here a Gentile, even a Roman soldier. And we will find he cleanses those unclean, yes, lepers and sinners, even what is called a woman of the town. Even as we will find later, one who is even dead, he brings to life, brings wholeness, brings truth. All those who epitomize the poor, forgotten, marginalized. It is to all these Jesus has come to bring the good news, the gospel. This is key to his ministry, restoration. Bring those excluded, denied, ostracized, forbidden entrance, and to lift the very least. We will find in Luke, very next act is to stop a funeral. And by touching the dead, he would make himself unclean, but instead he brings life. He speaks directly to the corpse, and at a word spoken to the young man, he is alive. He will touch lepers the same way. Instead of being made unclean, he makes the lepers clean. And as we have found here, he would even enter a Gentile's home, a centurion, a Roman soldier, which alone would make him unclean. Only the pleading of the centurion prevents it. A man with a withered hand, which would exclude him from temple worship, our Lord will but ask that he stretch forth his hand, and he is made whole. A woman, as our Bible describes it, has an issue of blood for 12 years, which also would make her unclean and unfit for temple worship, reaches out to touch just the hem of his garment, which would legally in the Jewish eyes not defile him. But Jesus knows this affliction that has made her unclean is healed. Those demon-possessed of unclean spirits are delivered and made fit for inclusion once more in the faith of Israel. The lame, like all physical deformities, excluded them from the court of Israel in the temple, and he makes them whole. The blind, as are the deaf, also afflictions that prevent full rites of worship, and they are all healed. This too, like much our Lord does, is unique to his ministry. There is no record in the Old Testament of prophets or anyone else healing the blind or casting out demons. But it was a consistent mark of our Lord's ministry, which, like much of what he did, was to send a message to those in the words of the prophets, if they have ears to hear, let them hear. If they have eyes to see, let them see. He opened blind eyes and deaf ears as the perfect action to a nation that is spiritually blind as well as spiritually deaf. This is what his message is meant to express. His desire and his right to forgive sins, to forgive a woman caught in adultery. The woman of the city, we are told, secures a place at a dinner party at Simon the Pharisee's house. There at his feet, she weeps, washing our Lord's feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And our Lord tells her, her faith has saved her. But it is the words of our Lord that express the truth of her salvation. Time and again we see our Lord taking the prerogatives reserved for the Lord God upon himself. Here of forgiveness. One in particular tells of the paralyzed man that is lowered before him because of the crowd by his four friends who have dug through the roof to place their friend before him. What does Jesus do? He will first say, your sins are forgiven. It is again another brilliant message to those who question who he is. They are saying to themselves, who is this man who says he can forgive sin? That's for God only. To which our Lord responds, why do you question in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and we must listen to what our Lord says to this man. I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home. Our Lord here perfectly states why he does these miracles. Which is easier, to speak of forgiveness, to state that the Son of Man has come as the perfect Son, he is here to be seen as the Israel that was meant to be? So which is easier to say, a word, or to actually do what no other has ever done? He would often use healings to speak to the authorities in no uncertain terms, declaring by word and deed who he actually was. Yes, he avoids actually saying, I am the Messiah, until that last week in Jerusalem. But everything he did declared who he was, and of course, so much more. He avoided what was familiar to first century Jews, because he did not want to be ensnared in their anticipations, what all had been longing for he was not what they had come to expect. He was a different kind of Messiah, a different kind of Davidic king. The miracles he wrought all were essential to make that case. To those who were open, to had eyes to see and ears to hear, could say, would the Messiah do more wonders than this man? And in this vein, one has to love the response of the man born blind, that our Lord healed. For when he is examined by the priest, as they question his parents, and even will question if the man was ever blind, he is then told to give God the glory. For as they say, we know that this man, meaning Jesus, is a sinner. However, the healed man finds this puzzling. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I know, that once I was blind, and now I see. To which the religious authorities have more questions, expressing more doubts, and our healed man will at last exclaim, never since the world began has it ever been said that anyone born blind and can now see, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That is exactly the point. Such signs are saying something. Jesus has made his point. To not see or hear is to purposely close your eyes and stop up your ears. It was why Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda by the sheep gate. There he found one man who had been there for 38 years, always being beaten into the water when troubled, always trying, never succeeding. This one man of a multitude of the invalided and ill, Jesus chooses to heal. And he will do so on the Sabbath, purposely, again to proclaim those willing to see and hear who he was. Jesus probably picked the worst case, the man whom all would know had lived a large part of his life lying near the pool of Bethesda, wanting to be healed, desiring to walk again, and now having no idea who stood before him. And now asked if he wanted to walk again. Here in this surprising story is one who doesn't even know who Jesus is, nor does he have any faith in this man at all. Yet Jesus heals him. The purpose becomes clear as the authorities find him carrying his pallet on the Sabbath. The truth about Jesus makes many uncomfortable. The answers to the questions, by whose authority do you heal on the Sabbath, forgive sin, tell people on the Sabbath to carry their bedding, chase out the money changers and overturn their tables in the temple's court of Gentiles, just by whose authority? The answer is uncomfortable, for it challenges their presumptions, and it will challenge ours as well. It challenges our status as self-sufficient, as in control of our destiny. To see him is to see the Father. As John will write, what we have seen with our eyes, looked upon, touched with our hands concerning the word of life, this which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. It is all about that we too might have a relationship with this Jesus. Jesus is so much for us. Healer, yes. Deliverer, yes. Enabler, yes. He who saves, oh, indeed. Jesus is all of that and so much more. He went about healing and delivering, not just out of his compassion, which he did and did often, but these acts were a message assigned to that generation concerning who he was and, oh yes, who he remains. It is why healing and deliverance is such a part of the emerging church at the edge of the kingdom's advance in Africa, South Asia, China, in the jungles, remote villages, and those once forgotten lands. And as we hear in this new mission field of those who have lost their way, forgotten that this was once a Christian land, I believe we will see, we must see such divine acts of mercy as we pose to our detractors the same unanswerable questions, the same uncomfortable questions about who Jesus is. Who do you think Jesus is? Do you really know for sure that there is no God? Do you want to risk your eternal soul on an uncertain no or being agnostic? Just really, who is Jesus Christ? And what about that empty tomb? I want us all to be confident, as God has healed me, touched and blessed my life, so he has yours as well, I'm sure. Don't be afraid to share the truth. It is the only thing that can liberate this sin-sick world and bring about God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, my precious Lord, Savior, Healer, and he who challenges us, let justice pour down like water. May we embrace all who have been marginalized by the unthinking mob, by religious fanatics and hypocrites. What we are called to is to be the light and salt to this dark and wounded place we call this world. For what we are to be your servants, for you are our Lord. And before you every knee shall bow, for it is your kingdom forever and ever. Amen and amen.
This remarkable incident with the Roman centurion and his beloved slave is so revealing on so many levels. What is faith, the compassion of Jesus, and his disregard of many Jewish traditions? This story is immeasurable in my husband Thomas's study, which is now part of his book titled, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. Here is a concise and fascinating study of the importance of Jesus in all that we do and ask. You will want this very helpful study, so do write and ask for It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. It is yours at no charge. We want to thank all of you who are keeping this ministry in your prayers and for your generous monetary support. And please consider being a part of this outreach by supporting the Wings of Healing. A gift, large or small, is always a blessing. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This healing ministry of Jesus was unlike anything ever really done before. It was what set apart his ministry, for he healed so many, from lepers to the deranged and especially the blind. Our Lord still does heal, and I can testify to that. And so too does Henrietta of Pennsylvania, who reports that her leg is completely healed, to the surprise of her doctors. No pain, no limitation, everything is healthy. This couldn't be better news. So do remember, we are here for you. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now Janice comes to sing Robert's own, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. And please always know, it is Jesus.
It is Jesus, only Jesus, Savior of the soul and healer of the human heart.
Seek him not for healing, only seek him. Seek him not for riches, only seek him. What is it to profit having riches without grace, to gain healing in your body if you never see his face?
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week to all who will write a copy of his book also titled It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. Now, this is an insightful study on the unique healing ministry of Jesus. So when you write this week, ask for It Is Jesus, Only Jesus.
It is yours at no charge. Our address is our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.